All right, I think we're recording. Evan, I hope you get this, and I hope we don't have too many problems with the technology on this. I'm going to intro you to Ian here. You've never met him, but you will know his voice soon.
Welcome to the Oddity Archive with Ian and David.
And welcome back to the Oddity Archive, special episode number one. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. First of all, as always, I'm David, and with me is Ian. Ian, what have you done with Evan?
I mean, I got Alec for something.
My head, I wanted you to respond to that question as Eminem. Saying he's trapped in your basement. So we're going to do episode one of our special episodes today. And what we're doing for those is going to be sort of a watch with us. And so I've picked out an episode of a show to watch with Ian. And I'll tell you a little bit more about who he is in just a second, so you're not wildly confused. But we're going to watch an episode and comment on it and talk about it. And if you're so inclined, you can watch along with us. Or we perhaps might just be entertaining enough to listen to on our own. We'll see about that. But we're going to do one this week. We're going to do another one 2 weeks from now. And then we will get back to season two. We just kind of needed a little bit of a break. These episodes are going to be less labor intensive with research. Evan will have a much easier lift with these episodes with the editing. So we're going to get through those. Evan right now is circumnavigating the globe on back to back to back to back work trips. So I'm going to be sending this stuff to him probably while he's 30,000 feet in the air. Now, a little bit about Ian. If you remember episode 9, The Mad Gasser, I did give Ian a shout out.
That's true.
And behind the scenes peek, he also was the person that suggested meth as an explanation for the, which episode was that? The Kelly Hopkinsville Goblins episode.
I was shooting all the things in the trees.
Yeah, meth makes sense there. So Ian is, if you remember the show Home Improvement from the 90s, the closest I have ever come to meeting Wilson. That was his name, right?
Howdy ho, neighbor.
Ian is that person you know that has a story for every situation. Ian has experienced more than you can imagine. He has just casually told me stories of, and humbly, he's not... Ian is probably the least braggadocious person I've ever met in my life. In passing conversation, he has told me of hanging out with rebel forces in South America. He has told me about having a rowing competition against a native tribe in Africa. And so that is the kind of person.
I love your perspective on my stories.
So that is the kind of person Ian is. And so I've picked an episode today that I think will demonstrate to you, the listener, the kind of person that Ian is.
I know nothing about this episode, by the way.
Yeah, you have no idea what we're about
to watch. I'm walking in blind.
So I think he might end up talking more than me in this episode. We are going to be watching, if you're so inclined, Expedition Unknown, yes. Season 5, Episode 5, Butch Cassidy's Lost Loot. Ian's laughing for a reason.
Yeah.
And that will become apparent to you once we get into this. Man. But if that is something you're interested in, again, Expedition Unknown, Season 5, Episode 5. I have it on Discovery Plus. I don't know where else it might be accessible, but hey, Cece.
The small child joining us.
Enjoy the pool. We've had dogs interrupt, we've had cats interrupt, and now we've had small humans.
Small humans.
So again, season 5, episode 5 of Expedition Unknown. The title is Butch Cassidy's Lost Loot. If you want to follow along, I'm going to hit play and we're going to roll with this. So if you want to, 3, 2, 1, play. All right, here we go.
1899.
The Wyoming frontier. So, Ian, why don't you give a little bit of background on this episode? What do you know about Butch Cassidy?
So, Butch Cassidy is quite known to me. I lived in a rural area of Colorado that he frequented on his way actually to his first bank robbery. I think we'll talk about that. It's also nearby an area they would use to escape the groups coming, the posses coming after them. So
okay.
Butch Cassidy is very known to me from my days there.
Excellent. Butch Cassidy's on the run.
He's on the run.
The law's after him. And Josh Gates is on the case.
He is on the case. He's always on the case.
Josh Gates is, I feel like, a hero to dads.
For sure.
In general.
It's like what we dream about doing after a Friday.
Yeah, he's a dad icon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Red Lantern.
Is that one of Butch Cassidy's signatures?
They did use that a couple times.
Okay. Yeah. I think something bad's about to happen.
Yeah, is it going to work out for the passengers? Wild bunch.
The Wild Bunch.
Yep.
Sundance Kid.
There he is.
So Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid were together.
Yeah.
They were part of a gang.
But as they're saying, Butch Cassidy would often kind of run the show from afar. He wasn't always active on the robberies.
So he was more of a manager?
Well, he started as a bandit. Yeah, particularly the Telluride robbery, he was definitely involved in.
I think we're going to get into that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much. I think that goes here.
Because I watched part of this episode in preparation. And I was like, yeah, Ian's going to have some stories about this.
I want to say, I'm not sure if I'm right on the timing of this, but shortly after moving to this area of Colorado, I believe this had been filmed not long before that, because when I was there, everybody in town, and we're talking like 500 people in this town, knew about the show, like knew about
okay,
who it was filmed with, where they filmed it. And so it was like a recent memory for the area. We'll have to check the date on. I'm not sure when it was done, but.
So you moved to this area shortly after they filmed this?
I believe so. I don't know what the timing was, but I remember very distinctly the area we moved to has a lot of ranchers, kind of generations old ranchers and cowboys, and they were talking about helping with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think this episode has one of those ranchers.
It does. It does. Yeah. So. That was the particular story that I believe that we'll see here.
I told you, folks, Ian knows things.
Yeah. That's a great movie, actually.
What movie was that?
Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Redford, Paul Newman.
I can't say I've ever seen that.
That's good. I mean, it's them in like their prime.
Do we know what year?
Characters. What year that?
Let's ask Dolan.
Ooh, that's
what
a Dolan question.
We have a coworker who is named Dolan, who, if you name a movie, he can tell you what year it came out instantaneously.
I would not dare to be Dolan or try to be, but yeah, he'll know the year.
So we're going to be looking for his missing treasure here.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would imagine is all over the place.
This is it. It's the Outlaw Trail is what he's talking about. Debatable.
Oh. So he may not have been killed in Bolivia.
That's right.
I feel like, though, if you're one of the most famous train robbers of all time and bank robbers, you're going to have loot all over the place.
Not just one place.
Yeah, not just one place.
I would agree, because they're widespread over the region, too. I would have definitely picked it up with things.
Oh, yeah. So I feel like the structure of these episodes is eventually they'll start talking to some people who think they know where it's at.
Yeah.
And I feel like they all could be right. They all could be wrong.
Right. That might be the fallacy of this episode, is that they're looking in just one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
How do you think he got this job?
I remember watching him on, what is this, Expedition Unknown. He had another show that was a two-word name that was like looking for like cryptids and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's always done like adventure shows.
Oh.
And as soon as that one ended, this one started.
Look out, folks. Telluride. This is where I have lived. I didn't live in Telluride. I can't claim that.
Okay.
You would need like millions of dollars to live in Telluride or live like in an alleyway there.
Have you rode that ski lift?
Multiple times. Been in that gondola. Probably in that exact gondola chair. I've got pictures
so
of my kids right there.
You've had this view that he has right now.
Yeah. You got to do it. You know, it's actually one of the free, only free gondolas, public transportation in the world. In the world.
Okay.
Most gondolas you pay for, but Telluride, that's actually public transportation. Because most people that work in Telluride can't afford to live there. So they live in Mountain Village, which is up the mountain.
Okay.
So you use that to get to work.
Oh.
Yeah. So people ride this in the morning.
So is there like a commuter lot on the other side of the mountain?
There is. Yeah. If you're smart about skiing, you don't park down in Telluride. That's for sure.
Okay. So that gondola is not
And I worked in that courthouse.
You worked in the courthouse?
Been in there a bunch. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First bank you robbed.
I can't remember the sum. Okay. It was like the 20s or something, the thousands. I can't remember how much. Yeah. Sheridan.
You had a drink there?
Been there, had dinner, had a drink there. Yeah.
Okay.
And Rowdy, here he comes. Local legend. I'll tell you about Rowdy. Here he comes. Rowdybush.
Okay.
Horse in the bar.
Here we go.
Now, I heard about this scene. Everyone said they like shot this many, many times. These are all the locals in here.
Okay. So they did not just happen to be in the bar.
No.
This is all.
And they never let anyone on horseback come into the bar.
Well, of course.
The Sheridan is like the fancy place to have dinner and Telluride.
Okay.
So that making it this like Western thing is kind of funny. Because in some ways, like the Sheridan's like fancy steakhouse.
Okay. And have you met Rowdy?
I have met Rowdy. Rowdy is not actually a resident of Telluride. He lives in Norwood, where I live, which is down valley.
Okay.
And every Christmas, Rowdy does a Christmas sleigh ride.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a horse guy, right? He's got a lot of horses. Okay. And he has a Christmas sleigh ride that you can sign up for. Our local company that I work for.
Uh-huh.
Had like some tickets to it, and for whatever reason we could not go, but I did meet him in town when he was doing that. You see him often taking groups of people. That's like one of his jobs. He takes people around on tours.
Okay, I see. So Rowdy's a pretty well-known person.
Yes.
Telluride.
Yeah. And probably more in like Norwood and the communities below, because Telluride's like the ski community up at the top. And these other towns where most people actually work and live that work in Telluride is down below.
Okay. So do you think he took the gondola into town today?
Did he?
For the shoot.
He might have. He might have parked outside of town and take the gondola.
So is Telluride, and you might not know this, has it always been like a rich person place?
No. So Telluride's history is really interesting. It was always a mining area. It had like silver and gold traces. There's a couple mines right above the actual town.
Okay.
There's a mining company that you still do the tours of the mines today if you want.
Okay.
You walk through the old mine entrances.
Yeah.
But that actually went under. Basically, the rush to get these minerals ended, and Telluride was just, you know, a handful of people for a while.
Okay.
Early like 1900s and things like that. And it was actually, there's a great film about it, but it was, I don't know, 40s and 50s, like some people, a lot of veterans from World War II moved there. So the 10th Mountain guys ended up there. And then honestly, like a lot of what you call like hippies or those folks ended there first.
Okay.
And we're literally retrofitting these old, like dilapidated Western buildings from the mining days to live in. So you got these stories of these people like trying to like, you know, jam up the cracks because the wind is blowing through in the middle of winter. And that's how people lived in Telluride initially. And it wasn't until much later when the ski scene kind of moved in, it was discovered and then the money flooded in.
I see.
Aspen's not all that different. It was kind of just a little bit ahead of it in terms of developing the ski resort.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I went to this courthouse many times, parked right there in the street and tried not to get a ticket. Parking in Telluride's tough.
Are there often horses riding down the middle of the road?
I've never seen it. No. Yeah, they have parades. Sometimes they're having parades.
Okay.
Yeah, you have like the Patagonia sign right behind it. You catch that?
No.
If you like look closely at what's actually on the street, it's like all these like fancy brands. That's actually what Tiger that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the people that are there.
Let's see, where is he right now? So there's right. Lone Cones. That's a town right above. That's a peak right above Norwood.
How do you know that? It was just like
when you get out there, you just like learn the shape of the mountains and like what okay. their names are.
All right, they're switching to new horses.
Switching to fresh horses.
So they're saying they would run a horse all out.
That's right.
To a fresh horse.
And it'd be fresh horses waiting.
So forth.
Swapping okay. out. Yep. Yeah, this is coordinated, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So those are, that's the San Juan Mountains there behind them. Good view of them.
That is wild. You can tell just by the outline of them.
Now, I would bet this is Rowdy's land that they're actually shooting this on. He owns okay. an area of land up above town of Norwood.
That would make sense. Because they wouldn't need to get any permits or anything.
Let's see where they say the money goes. Where are they going to take it?
Where'd they take the money? I want the gold.
He pulls out the old
he
map.
He pulls out.
They handed that to him. It's always a question, right? Why would Rowdy tell them where it is?
Is Rowdy
he knew
a treasure hunter?
That I don't know.
It sounds like he's more of a just a fun guy in town.
He's a character that you would want on a show for sure.
Okay. Rowdabush.
Rowdabush, yeah. And he's regarded as like a really nice guy in town too. I mean, people like him. It's kind of strange. I mean, I can actually like see in my head like the road that leads to his property. Like Norwood is like a stop through town. There's like barely any streets in it. So you know, like if you take one road up into the mountains, you generally know like, well, yeah, they live up that
where
way.
It goes.
They live up there.
Okay.
He's got, I believe he has a property even with his name like up above where he lives.
Oh.
Robert Roos is famous. Yeah.
Hole in the wall. Browns Park. So he's saying it's in Browns Park. Let's see.
What's he going to say about Browns Park?
So that's like halfway
between
the
Hole in the Wall and Robert Roos. Yeah.
Okay. But that's got to be still a large area.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, let's pick this mountain range. Like, I mean, it's a huge area.
Something a little more narrowed down before you start digging, I feel like. Oh, we're going to Utah.
I actually know where that is. That's on your back road going into Moab, actually. That's a great drive. It's a back road into Moab.
Okay.
Yep, that's still Moab that they're filming there.
Moab. That's where the that like crazy endurance race is.
Arches National Park. There you go. So it's like my spring break haven as a kid. Yeah. It's Balancing Rock.
Is this, okay, I have to ask.
Yeah.
Is this where you thought you saw aliens briefly? Was that in Moab?
I'm trying to remember this story. What story is this?
When you were in the desert.
Forget my own stories.
And you saw like lights and noises. I don't want to give it away. And you walked over and there was like an alien ship and a ton of people. Was that in Moab?
No, but it wasn't far. Yeah, that was when, that was sixth grade. That was Goblin Valley.
Goblin Valley, okay.
Goblin Valley. Yeah, so he is driving through like cinematic paradise. This is where Indiana Jones was filmed.
Okay.
Last Crusade, that opening scene where he's got the cross and his...
Yeah.
That was shot like right there in Moab.
Oh.
If you go into the airport at Moab, they have all the movie posters of every movie that's been filmed there. And that airport is full of posters. If you want that red rock kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
you go
the
there.
Place to go.
They all have great facial hair.
So let's see. Here's Mark Allen.
Yeah.
And so he's maintaining an area where the thieves would put their stuff.
I guess so. What town is... Did they say what town Browns Park is by?
No, they didn't say where it was near. It was like northeast Utah. On the other side of Moab, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
I saw on the map, but it's funny. I saw actually the town that I actually grew up by, Glen Springs, like very close to there. So I'm sure it's like up northwest Colorado meets Utah border, but.
Okay. Okay.
It's probably like Rangeley or.
Now, I feel like Draper. We can't. We have to come back to you thought you were going to get abducted by aliens.
Yeah. So as I was saying about this, the cinema piece.
Yeah.
Got Indiana Jones, but as I found in sixth grade, Goblin Valley happened to be the showing of a great movie that we'll reveal in a second. But I found out by mistake, we're playing hide and go seek on like a week long trip in the sixth grade. And Goblin Valley is a bunch of what they call hoodoos. They're these like big rock shapes. And at night, it's a pretty great place for like capture the flag, something like that.
Yeah.
And so you kind of are in this valley bottom with a bunch of these, you know, spires of rock above you. And we were running around there, and that's where I saw strange lights, heard a bunch of people yelling, maybe cheering, and as a little 12-year-old, climbed over this little hill, crested over it, and see this silver spaceship. And I was like, what is going on? This is like, it looked like a real spaceship. It was not like something you'd build in your backyard. And then at the same time, noticed there was a giant bonfire going on, and got yelled at by all the crew. And turned out it was Galaxy Quest, if you remember that. The great, great creation of 1999, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Is that the second reference to Tim Allen?
Allen's back. You know, Home Improvement and now Galaxy Quest. You got to get a Buzz Lightyear reference.
So you stumbled upon a shoot for Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, it's the time where they go to that orange planet and they're like, those little creatures are trying to eat them. And they're like, have the rock monster. That was all shot right there. That's what they had just finished, I guess. And we found out that right next to us was his trailer. So like in the campsite we were at, Tim Allen's trailer is right there.
Okay. Did anybody yell at you? Were they like, get out of here?
Yeah.
Get out of here, kids. All right, we're going down the river. What river is this? I'm just assuming you know it.
Did they say the Colorado?
I'm not sure, but it looks pretty rough.
The Gunnison, maybe. Or maybe... He's moved around here in Utah, so he might be on the Green River, too.
Oh, Rowdy's still with him. That was Mark.
They both have that great facial hair.
They both have the...
I think this show is just an excuse for him to have like a lot of fun.
It definitely is.
Like, he got to ride a horse, drive a Jeep through Moab, and now he's riding down a river in a dory boat.
Because this is season 5, and I want to say I just watched the latest episode of season 16. Like, they're still making them. Like, they're coming out Thursdays.
Amazing.
And he goes all over the world for this show. But he definitely does have an affinity for, like, the West. Because I feel like one or two episodes every season is some sort of Western mystery that they're exploring. So I think we're going to get out here and they're going to do some metal detecting. So
Want to know how they planned this production wise. Let's stop right here in the river and walk a mile this way.
All right, let's see.
Oh,
there's a structure built into.
It's like an old cellar. They used to build cellars out west like that in the hillsides.
So it could be a hideout. Could also be something to keep things cool.
Had to have been the Green River, I'm guessing. But it could be wrong. Let's see.
So we're either finding a hideout built into the thing or someone's
old potatoes.
Refrigerator.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe some potatoes, some jars in here.
Yeah. Let's see. A dugout. Let's see.
Yep.
The dugout. Oh, okay. So you build this first. So they just dig a hole in the side of the hill until they finish building their house.
1874.
Okay. Doc Parsons. That is not a name I'm familiar with.
Oh, there it is. Family connection.
Doc Parsons family here.
What about that family tree? Let's see.
Yeah. I need evidence. So this was Doc Parsons' dugout while he built his house.
Look at his face. Like, this is where they partied?
Are they going to find the treasure?
Oh.
The Wild Bunch. What? So he's saying they buried their treasure
before they went
outside
in.
Before going to the party.
How many people do you think are going to these parties?
Yeah, like, they couldn't have been that big of a party.
There's like five people. They'd be like, hey, I just saw you buried
it. It's in
that.
A dugout.
Yeah, and it's like a rave out here in the dugout. It's like, well, there's hundreds of people. They won't know.
Well, better bury my gold before I go into this rager over here.
Oh, get the gear.
Gotta get the gear.
Gotta get the gear. Here it is.
Oh, Merlin. More amazing facial
hair. If you're
hair.
A treasure hunter, your name is Merlin. This is gold.
You're gonna find something good. Oh, they're going dowsing rods. Okay. Let's see.
But you know these guys have done this at this spot a bunch.
Oh, because
this is their family land.
100% they've done this. Also, it doesn't make sense that they would bury their gold right outside the dugout.
No.
Like somebody would, like you said, they would have seen them. Like, hey, what were you burying over there before you like came in and
this
ordered a cocktail?
This looks scientific.
Oh, yeah. Do you know about dowsing rods?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's people like fully buy into this.
We're watching a man with two sticks walking through the brush.
And then when they cross, he's found water?
Yeah.
Or metal? Or what?
Here it comes. Let's see.
Let's see.
Oh. And across, there it is.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. See how fast that moved? Oh, he found something there.
Got a hit.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what he's looking for, though, with the dowsing rods. Although, if I'm going to believe somebody that's doing dowsing rods, it's going to be somebody named Merlin.
With a beard like
with
that.
With a beard
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I would too.
Like, that's enough to convince me.
I mean, look, if I'm out here with them, I'm all about this. I would be going wild. Like, let's find this.
I'm all in on some dowsing rods.
It's a soda can. Yeah.
Oh, we got a metal detector hit. So they're going to just put a bunch of flags down and then start digging stuff up. What do you think is going to have more accuracy, dowsing rods or metal detectors?
I'm going to go with the metal detectors, but...
I'm going to go dowsing rods.
Dowsing rods, bold move.
You know? I'm going to believe in Merlin.
Here we
Let's
go.
Let's see. What does this one have?
I'm going to find some, like,
here we go.
Nails from a fence
it's
going
to be nails. I bet they find, like,
maybe a
bullet or
can.
Something.
There's a can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a can.
Can. Miller Lite. That's my bet.
Some cowboy just threw a can off their horse. Like, I don't need that.
Or no, what is it? Oh. Coors. It's cold as the Rockies. Mason jar. Hey.
Nail. Called it. Boom.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Scrap metal. Another can. Someone's really hitting the Coors lights out.
Coors or a soda? I mean, what are we doing on horseback?
Oh my gosh.
Like, my family's a ranch family. We're not carrying Coca-Colas or Miller Lights in saddlebags. I mean, all right, maybe we are sometimes. But.
Yeah, you never. Bought a case of Coors Light when you were playing Oregon Trail.
Made the buffalo hunting a lot more exciting. Oh, bow casing.
I told you they were going to find a bullet. They always find a bullet. And then usually on these episodes.
How old is that, though?
Let's see. How old? Oh. Ooh. Henry Arms.
It's old, then.
Oh, late 1800s, mm-hmm. early 1900s. Okay, well, that lines up with Butch Cassidy.
Now, do you think they've never scoured this area before, or they, like, planted that thing?
You know, I think they've probably scoured this, but there's enough land that the production team was probably like, show us somewhere you haven't searched before so we can find some things. Now, usually in these episodes, they will find a bullet casing, and they will find some piece of, like, jewelry mm-hmm. or something. So mm-hmm. let's see if they, like, come across a ring, and then Josh freaks out about it.
All right. You're going to link it back to the Wyoming train robbery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true. Butch Cassidy, generally known as a fairly nonviolent outlaw.
Okay.
Juxtaposed to like your Billy the Kids and stuff like that.
Billy the Kid violent?
Well, he's a gunslinger.
Shoot first.
Yeah.
Okay. But Butch Cassidy.
And Jesse James gang also sometimes,
they had a whole shootout, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Butch Cassidy was more just about business.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your money. I'm gonna leave you alone otherwise.
And really, it's what makes their final shootout interesting, because it's like, that's not what they're known for. They weren't known for shootouts.
Yeah. So you're saying that plays into why them dying in Bolivia doesn't make sense.
It's interesting, right?
Because they weren't the type to just pull their guns and start shooting at people.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when they're cornered, maybe that's what they felt like compelled to do it. But
now, in today's world, okay, they went to Bolivia, et cetera, et cetera. How did they get to Bolivia? That's a ways away.
I'm guessing they took, I don't know.
They're saying they just like rode their horses all the way down there?
No, I'm sure. Let's see, where's Bolivia here? Would you be able to take a ship, maybe? I'm not sure that I'm part of it. That'd be a long ride.
Yeah.
I mean, you're either hopping on a train at one point or
get on a boat,
taking
or
a ship around to the coast. Yeah.
So there was some sort of deception when Butch Cassidy was in jail.
This is the big one.
Here we go. Oh.
Yeah. Josie Bassett.
Did she out him?
Yeah. She's one of the ones that claims to have seen him much later after the Bolivia event.
Okay. Because he, I'm assuming he supposedly died young.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying she saw him years in later. United States years later. All right. Yeah, that's another good point. If they did go to Bolivia, they would have taken the gold with them.
You think so?
Like, they wouldn't have just buried it.
Yeah, like, turn of the century, would you just, like, bury something and be like, I'm just going to leave it there and hope that it's still there later?
Another thought. You bury your gold. You go into the rave. You have a few too many cosmopolitans, right? Maybe some stronger stuff. It would not surprise me if you then forget where you buried your
gold. That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. Oh, we're in Vegas now.
Sure is, with a Cadillac.
What is the connection to Vegas? Was not a thing in the late 1800s.
Well, I think that's where he was seen, was Southern Nevada, but I don't know if it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think they just want to have some Vegas shots. Again, I think this is really just trying to get Josh up the coolest places he can think of in the West.
And he does have a very big thing about the cars that he drives.
Yes.
And they're doing a throwback to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Vegas.
That shot right there, yeah.
Yeah. The hat.
Little guns.
The car and everything. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, so, there it is.
There we go. The shaky camera.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see. Where is he going, though?
You have to get rights to all these little impersonations they do?
I think they do it just enough off that they don't have to.
Yeah.
Good Springs, Nevada.
Does sound like a watering hole.
Let's see. Okay. Pioneer Saloon, 1913. So if he was ever Sarsaparilla. Is that root beer? What is Sarsaparilla? What?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a tiny bit.
Alcohol.
The way you have to brew it.
But have you had it?
I have had homemade root beer. I don't know if they call it Sarsaparilla.
So Sarsaparilla is like a type of root beer?
I believe so.
Okay. I need to get some of that.
Gotta go find some Sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
We should have had some for this.
We should have had some.
You should have whipped that out on me. Like, well, we're going to start with Sarsaparilla.
Here you go. Just get you wildly drunk while we watch this episode.
He said it'd take like a six pack to feel anything. You're going to drink six of these before we do this.
Well, this would be after we had the Cosmos from the rave.
Oh, okay.
So, you know. By the end of this, we should be six drinks in.
We make some t-shirts. Like, rave at the hideout.
Rave at the
dugout.
Hideout.
Sorry, the dugout. Rave at the dugout.
Dugout rave.
Dugout rave. Popular old Western events.
Bury your gold out front.
Please deposit your gold here.
There we go. We can add that to the merch store next to the, what is it? I am a remote viewer with a picture of a banana, I think was one of the shirts that we had.
There you go.
All right.
I am a dugout raver.
I am a dugout raver.
Just like a cellar picture with some lights above it.
And then just Butch. like as a quote by Butch.
By Butch.
With no explanation. Okay. So we're going to a previously undiscovered
Johnny District in Nevada
to dig for gold.
Oh, let's see his car.
So we're going.
There it is.
He came back from Bolivia, settled somewhere outside of Vegas, went into these mountains and buried more treasure.
That's the idea.
And so if they do find treasure, it's more evidence that Butch Cassidy may have not died in Bolivia.
I think that's really what they're going after.
I think those are all the steps that we're taking right now.
Saying this is a car is a stretch. It's yeah, what they call a side-by-side out there.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all the rage. Actually, in Moab now, they're all the rage, too. Some Jeepers hate that. Yeah.
So are there, like, to what extent are there just trails everywhere?
There's a lot of old roads that are, like, half covered like that.
Okay.
A lot of the mountain bike trails now, that's where a lot of them come from, which is nice.
Is that what the Moab 240 is run on? It's just like old trails?
Some of it's like old two tracks.
Because it's wild to me that the Moab 240, if you don't know, is like the longest ultra race that I know of. And like, it's wild to me that it's just a circle. Like they don't do laps. Well, that's not a circle, but like it's one loop.
That's right. It's a loop.
That's 240 miles.
Yeah. So they string a bunch of trails together, but there's definitely two tracks part of that.
Okay. So we found an abandoned building, and he is alleging Butch Cassidy lived in this building.
There's like 1970s paneling. I'm very curious here.
There's wood paneling on here. Oh, pneumonia is what got him. Let's see. Butch Cassidy's looking old in this shot. Mm-hmm. Died from pneumonia in 1947? So he would have been old.
Butch Cassidy's roaming around the West during World War II.
Butch Cassidy was alive during World War II is what this man is alleging.
That is blowing my mind.
And then died of pneumonia. Let's see.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Did you say a bed? I don't see remnants.
They're looking at a carpeted floor, saying there are remnants of a bed. How did this guy get on the show? Oh, no. This is like just like an old house.
Like yeah.
Wood paneling. There's some carpet on the floor.
String that together. Less convincing visually.
This feels like a stretch to me. He's about to turn a corner and be like, and this was Butch Cassidy's sleep number.
And here is the modern toilet that he was using.
He had a bidet, did you know?
All right, Tim.
All right.
Get back in the side-by-side?
We're going back up. They're going to try and find his grave, I guess. Let's see. 50 yards away.
Why are people burying things so close?
Sheet metal cabin.
They're building things, burying things so close to buildings.
Well, yeah, get some distance.
Like,
what are we doing? Oh,
GPR.
Pulling out the GPR, the ground penetrating radar.
Getting serious now.
Oh, is there going to be anything under the ground? Let's see.
Let's predict. What are they going to find with the GPR?
Normally, what they find is like something disturbed the ground here.
Mm.
And so then they'll dig and it'll be like a giant rock or something. I don't know if I've ever watched a show where they use GPR and been like, yeah, we found what we were looking for. I think it's more for just like,
what is this GPR guy doing outside of this episode? Because clearly you're not being successful in treasure hunting.
What are you looking for normally?
That's what I mean. What do you do as a GPR?
That's a good question.
Is it like part of like building permits or like you have to like a scan a building area before they can build on it? Like,
it could be. All right. This is it. This is where Butch Cassidy's buried.
Like that ring of rocks right around.
I think this guy set this whole thing up to get on this show. So we're going to run this thing back and forth across the burial plot.
How hot do you think it is while they're filming this?
Probably pretty warm. I mean, they're in the desert. In the sun.
It's like it's like midday. It's hot.
I would not want to be there. Burial site. Let's see. This guy running the GPR is like, as long as they pay me, I'll run this.
And now we've kind of switched to like finding his body, right?
Yeah, we're not insinuating it's a body.
Yeah, we're not insinuating he took his treasure to the grave.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm.
We're not looking for treasure. We're looking for bones now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're just going to run this thing and see if they find some disturbance.
I would love if just like off camera, there's like a 5-year-old like kid with his toy just like watching them like, what's going on?
What are y'all doing
in his
up
backyard?
There?
What are these three guys doing?
What? I always want them in episodes like this to like find a grave, but like be somebody completely different and like solve a completely. Oh, we found a disturbance in the ground.
Depression.
Let's see. Something's buried in the ground. Right where they're standing. How far down? 4 feet? All right. Bets right now. What do you think it is?
I'm kind of with you. I think it's like a large rock. Like, can you fully excavate an area on a show like that? Or do you have to like, kind of archaeologically go after it?
I think they get permits to like get some permits? Dig and stuff.
Are they careful about it or they're just like shovels go?
Depends on the episode. Sometimes they'll like bring in a backhoe and just go for it. And other times they'll get shovels. Because Josh Gates is like a legitimate archaeologist. Yeah. Like he knows how to do things gently, but they don't always do that. All right, let's see. Oh, it's like a coffin. My bet. Ice cold case of Coors Light. Cold as the Rockies. That's what I think is gonna come up. Oh, see, special permission to dig on this.
Already got it.
Let's see. The square they got is about 7 feet by 4 feet ish.
Like it's a coffin, folks. He's going in with the pickaxe.
He's digging into the ground.
What if the coffin wasn't and he just like mistakenly shattered like Butch Cassidy's skull? With a pickaxe. I mean, come on, slow down.
We got him.
Pulls it out. It's on the end of it.
We got the femur right here. Yeah. Hits the pickaxe down. Comes back up. The skull is attached to it.
I guess it's pretty rocky, but.
All right. That heat's catching up to him. This is not an intelligent thing. They're finding something. Oh, what do we got? Is it a bone? Definitely commercial break right here.
Boom.
Luckily, I pay for no commercials.
Ooh, premium plan.
All right, let's see what they got. It looked white. It was small and white. I think they're trying to trick us into thinking it's a bone. But let's see what it is.
It's like a coyote skeleton or something.
Oh, it could be. It could be just an animal skeleton.
Let's see. I mean, there's a lot of bones in the desert.
It's true. Let's see. What is it? It's bone. It is bone. Oh, DNA testing. Mm-hmm. Do it now.
Nope. Never be careful.
All right.
Oh.
Ooh, we got to stop. Uh-oh. Oh. Yeah, they got to get the police involved. They found a body. Let's see. Getting the caution tape, getting law enforcement involved.
So what is the time period actually between all this? Because suddenly like their forensic anthropologist is like, I'll be right over.
Yeah, they're like, we're here right now.
Bag it and tag it.
Bag it and
Josh
tag
has got
it.
The language. I feel like I'm on CSI now.
I'm 95% it's not human.
Me too. I mean, they gave you a quick shot of that bone. Like, that could be easily like a deer leg bone right there.
A deer. Coyote, like you said.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, piece.
I don't know if there's wolves out there.
Well, that part of Nevada probably is, I don't know, Kylie.
Let's see. Who?
Deer.
Whoa. Paul, lacking in the beard department, I must say.
But he opened that door fast.
He did.
He was amped.
Paul is spry. Oh, Lula Benz.
Mm-hmm.
So what would that make him? His grandmother was Butch's sister.
So he's a...
He's like, Butch was like his great uncle?
Yeah, great, great uncle.
Great, great uncle? Yeah. All right, Paul. Let's see. They're going to use Paul's DNA. To test against the coyote skeleton.
Paul, I need to stab your finger right now. You good with that? No, that's what he's going to do.
We're going to see.
We're just doing a cheek swab.
Keeping it easy.
It's a wild west. Don't you do like a knife across the hand? Like, give me, like, seal it in blood.
I like to think that they didn't brief Paul on that at all, and just a stranger showed up and was like, "I swab your cheeks." Here we are, 1 week later, and Paul is just like, "Oh, I guess so."
Let's verdict. See.
Oh, Paul is a relative. Ooh, not a match because for the bone, because the bone is an animal. What? Was it a human bone?
Are we not going to find out?
Are they
going to
leave us without telling us what the bone was that they found? What?
Hold up.
What?
I am outraged.
They find bones in the desert.
What if there was someone else's body?
It had to. I mean.
Maybe it was and they couldn't mention it.
I bet it was an animal and they didn't want to say it.
They were too embarrassed.
They were like, nah, it'll make a better show if people think it's a human.
The shame.
But it wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul's relatives.
Outlaw Trail. Maybe we need to take this podcast on the Outlaw Trail.
I'm down.
We can go have a rave in the dugout.
Rave in the dugout. Dugout rave.
Dugout rave.
There we go. We're going to have to make dugout rave part of the odd tour when we go on the road. All right. Closing up here. Credits rolling.
They are indeed.
Special episode one in the books.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It tapped into my love for the American West. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on this journey. We'll see what I have in store 2 weeks from now. I got another good episode that might interest you.
I'm ready.
Different show. But I think it'll be a good one. Everybody out there, let us know what you thought of this episode. I know it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but like I said, we just kind of needed a break, but I wanted to keep the content rolling out. So drop us a comment, send us an email, oddityarchivepodcast@gmail.com and oddityarchivepodcast on Instagram. Let us know what you thought. Until next time, bye-bye.
See ya.
I am David Stuhlgraver, creator and host. The show is edited by my co-host, Evan Miller. All original music created by Sean Bullock. You can follow him at Sean Bullock Video on Instagram. All original artwork done by Tanis. Follow her at Tanis Tattoos on Instagram as well. Thank you for listening.